to this. That sometimes we know it's Thanksgiving Sunday, and yet we can be struggling for things to be thankful for, because sometimes life can be all-consuming, and it can be hard to just show up, and because the calendar has changed and the day has changed and now it's Thanksgiving Sunday, that there's a thankfulness that needs to be there. Sometimes there's a struggle and we can't always find the words to say. That's when I turn to the Psalms, because there are tremendous things recorded in the book of Psalms that helps us, that puts words in my mouth and in my heart that I'm able to express. It's a little bit, I don't know if this is the best illustration, but I think it sometimes is a little bit like a greeting card, or at least the concept. I don't mean to imply that God's word is simply a greeting card, but have you ever gone to an event or like a birthday party or anniversary or something, and you're looking for just the right card to say just the right words? I mean, there are stacks and rows of cards, and we stand there and we look through all of them simply to find the cheapest. No, that's not it. Simply to, is there one that adequately, that really expresses in words what I'd like to say? Now, I received some of those cards on my birthday, and I'm not, I hope it wasn't really what they meant to say. It was, you know, pictures like the Stone Age and Ice Age and Mechanical Age, and then you open it up and it's got a little mirror in it and it says Old Age. But there are nicer cards that help us express just what we want to say. And sometimes that's where I turn to the Psalms. And I find words like this in a moment where I'm looking to be thankful. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that's within me, bless His holy name. Or another psalm that says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise, and we can make this declaration, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble people are going to hear of it, and it will cause gladness in their lives. Or give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. But there's one psalm, and I've asked you to turn to it already, Psalm 23, that I was thinking of walking through today on Thanksgiving Sunday, and it's not long, it's only 6 verses. And it's not particularly a psalm that would have a heading, a Psalm of Thanksgiving. But I think that there's a lot of things in it that if you will allow it, it will help us to be brought to a place of thanksgiving this morning. It's often shared at funerals, but do you know this? It's not a psalm about death. It's a psalm about life. And it's Psalm 23. It's written by a shepherd, King David. And it's written to the shepherd, the good shepherd. And he starts off by saying this, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's this phrase that we really demands us to stop at, because if we don't answer this question correctly, is the Lord your shepherd, the rest of the psalm won't make sense. When David articulates this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, if we don't have the ability to make that declaration ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd, then the rest of the psalm, it doesn't fit. It's out of joint. It doesn't make sense, and it's not applied to us. That question has to be settled. Is the Lord our shepherd? The Lord is not automatically our shepherd. We choose to invite Him into our life as our shepherd, as our Savior and our Lord. And if we don't do that, then He's not our shepherd. And the rest of this psalm doesn't make sense. It's a pretty piece, it seems like, of poetry. There's no restoration of our souls. There's no anointing with oil. The fear of the shadow of death is very real. And there's no dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. Those things don't apply. Some people who don't yet have a relationship with the Lord yet can recite this psalm, I think it more appears like a piece of poetry that they're able to recite, like in Flanders Fields, where poppies grow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below, we are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. Loved, were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Or two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. It's poems that can move us, but if it's not true for us, perhaps somehow people recite it as a more of a poem, but the statement has to be the Lord is my shepherd. It has to be more than a recitation. It has to be a declaration. It has to be more than something we can recite. It's a declaration of truth that shapes us. I have chosen, what we're saying in this, I have chosen to acknowledge the Lord is my shepherd. I am following the good shepherd. And once you do that, once you make that declaration, the Lord is my shepherd, then the rest of this psalm fits. It's tailor-made fit for you. This is the statement. It changes everything when we're able to say this. The Lord is my shepherd. And when we say that, we're able to declare this, I shall not want. Because it flows all out of those first five words. The rest of the psalm is going to flow. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The psalmist wrote of not wanting. We read that in a world that is so countercultural to that statement. I want, I want, I want more. But this has more to do than just the initial thought that we might read and say of lack. I shall not want, I shall not have lack. We are so grateful, even this Sunday, that God is our provider and that He is our source and that He knows how to give good gifts to His kids. He knows how to take care of His kids. And even before we ask, He knows the things that we need of. He is a good, good Father. But there are still times when we experience lack. And there are times of scarcity and there are times of plenty. The Bible is full in the Old Testament and in the New of people who suffered tremendously, who had a good deal of lack. The Apostle Paul will talk about, I've known what it is to have a lot and I've known what it is to have a little. Jesus will even talk about, I don't even have a pillow. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Look around. And we see that the psalmist isn't just talking about material things. It has everything to do with being content. I shall not want. There are people that no matter how much they have, it's not enough. It doesn't matter how much they have, it's not enough. I need bigger, I need more, I need the latest, I need whatever. No matter how much they have, just one more dollar. Just whatever it is, it isn't enough. There are people who, no matter how little they have, it's enough. It's enough. It's this amazing state of contentment. When we've been to places ministering for where they would call third world or places of extreme poverty, it is amazing to meet brothers and sisters in Christ in those places who have a smile on their face, who have joy in their hearts, and who share what they have because they say they have had enough. They recognize God will provide. And this little bit we would look at and say, that's nothing. But they would share gratefully and give of what they have, looking to the Lord who is their shepherd. The Lord who is their shepherd. David, who wrote this, he experienced some lack. He didn't have a place to stay. He hid in a cave with 400 other guys. There were times when they ran out of food and had to go find it places. But David never lacked the care of the shepherds. We do not have an uncaring shepherd. So when we make that declaration true of our lives, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to look for another shepherd. I'm not going to look for someone else to provide. I'm not going to look for another source. The Lord is my shepherd, and my eyes are on Him. I shall not want. And then watch what the caring shepherd does. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down. Because He's my shepherd, I can lie down. Because He's my provider, I can lie down. I can come to a place of rest. And sometimes when I'm so frantic and so busy and so hurried and there's so much rush and there's so much noise and go, 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 sometimes the Lord says to me, it's not this just this gentle invitation. He makes me to lie down. It's Barry, lie down. Like, sit down, settle down, lie down. Just, it's time for you to rest. I have a friend of mine who told me that he figured out the reason why God created us with the need for sleep was that he could rule the world without any help for 8 hours. just to get us out of his hair. Lie down. Lie down. He makes us lie down. We're not always so good at lying down, but it's an amazing thing that on the seventh day, God rested. Do you know what he said about that seventh day? He called it holy. Holy. This day of rest. This day of, and it became such a law, and they missed the heart of the law. And Jesus would talk about even that in the New Testament, that the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. But this strength of, you need to stop. You need to lie down and rest and acknowledge that he is God. And he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The word beside still waters, some versions will say quiet waters. It literally means this, waters of rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He brings me to waters of rest. The still waters, sheep can get into real trouble when they drink from any old still water. We would probably not always just call it still water. We might call it stagnant. And there can be things that are growing in there that will make them sick, on and on. Just a still body of water is not necessarily the best. But we can trust our shepherd, because when this talks about a place of rest, still waters, quiet waters, it has to do with purity. Drinking from a pure water that he gives us of peace and purity. I read about a shepherd. Shepherd wrote a book talking about Psalm 23. And one of the things he brings us to is this place, this still waters. And he said, in his book, and then I looked it up on the internet, so it must be true. But he said that sheep can go for a long time without actually drinking out of a pool or out of a stream or such. He said they can go a long time without drinking if there is enough dew on the grass. If there is enough dew on the grass, that when they're eating the grass, they're also drinking, he said, this still water. He said there's no stiller water than the dew on glistening on the grass. And this picture of, he said he would bring his flock to places like this, and in the early morning, the grass would be heavy with dew. And they would eat, the sheep would get up to graze, and they would eat the grass. They would get the nutrients and also the water. And so they wouldn't have to look somewhere else. It was all located just in the dew that's fallen or that's appeared on this grass. And I thought, this might be one of the most beautiful pictures of morning devotions, of early morning moments with the Lord, where we arise before the world is yet awake, and we spend a few moments feeding on God's Word and allowing a refreshing to come of His Spirit. And I love even talking about this moment and thinking about an early moment with the Lord and reading our Bibles and enjoying the freshness of coffee. And yet your morning may look a little different. Right? Because sometimes we have this picture of wouldn't that be nice to have this little picture of a morning just so slow? And it's a little tough when you're trying to get the kids dressed and out to school and remember to bring the dog back in because we left him out last time. And somehow, if I can remember to not wear my pajamas to work again, on and on, just our world can be so busy in the mornings, and you think about this still water moment. Barry, what are you talking about? It doesn't have to be in the morning. There can be a time where you have this green pasture that he causes you to lie down in still waters. You might say, Barry, I've looked. There's no such place. It doesn't exist in my schedule. doesn't exist in my timeline right now. It doesn't exist. I am too busy. I'm going flat out. I didn't say look for it. I said look to him who will provide it for you. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Take your day plan or your schedule, whatever, before the Lord and say, God, it doesn't fit. Where can it fit? And he can make mountains be lowered, and he can raise valleys, and he can make a pathway for you. He can make rivers in the desert. He can carve out for you a moment of a green pasture and a still water. But it's not just looking for it, I can't find it. It's looking to him because he's the one who leads us and can provide that for you. It's Jesus who said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And he'll quench that thirst. The amazing part is this is where our soul is restored. It literally means this. This is where your soul returns. This is where your soul is restored. This is where your soul returns. In a world of depleting our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions. Depleting and damaged and exhausted and drained, this is where the Lord restores you and says, come, rest. Lay down. Eat. Be healed. I love when the prophet Elijah is fleeing from Jezebel and Ahab. And as he's gotten out of Dodge and just going a million miles an hour trying to get away, the Lord graciously allows him to sleep and eat. And he meets him at this place. And sometimes the restoration of our soul is really connected to us physically as well. Eat, sleep, stop. Allow the restoring of our souls. We've got to stop. There is so much in this world that wants to ravage our souls. Sorrows, heartache, weariness, depression, discouragement, being downcast. David, the psalm writer, said this, why so downcast, O my soul? So many things against him. But then he even speaks to himself and declares this, put your hope or put your trust in God's. Let there be a change. The Lord, your shepherd, wants to do this for you. Make you lie down in green pastures, lead you by still waters, refreshing nourishment, stop, peace, and to restore your soul. And it's from this place that he leads us. It's not just to this place that he leads us, but it's from this place. And we need to minister out of places of wholeness, places of rest, places of strength. But in order to do that, we need to stop and meet with the Lord and meet with the shepherd. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes we cry out to God, God, lead me. God, I need your direction. But we don't stop long enough for him to speak. We need to stop and be restored so he can lead us. Not just keeping on, pushing through, keep going, but to pause. He has a path for us, a path to walk in. It comes out of this place of stillness. And sometimes people say to me, Barry, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at stopping. I'm not good at sitting. I'm not good at resting. I'm not good at pausing. And without any sense of harshness or tone in my voice, or lack of compassion, I would say this gently but strongly, get good at it. Learn. If you're not, then learn how to stop. Learn how to follow the shepherd into this place. Scripture will tell us this. It's in quietness, confidence will be your strength. It's a place of strength that we need to minister out of. That our soul is restored and we can live out of that. Be still, the psalmist would say. Be still and know that I am God's. That he is our shepherd. He is our provider. He's our source. We come to this place of strength where he leads us. But it's not just all green pastures and still waters. When he leads us in the right path for his name's sake, it's the most amazing thing. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God, I thought you were leading me, and how did I end up here? Can't we just stay in the quiet moment? Can't we just stay in the green pasture and the still water? That sounds like a really nice picture. He leads us in the right path for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's Moses saying, and the people saying, I thought you were leading us. You freed us out of Egypt. You delivered us miraculously. And look where we are at the edge of the Red Sea. We're outgunned and they're coming to trample us down. There weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die. God, you were leading. It's to the promised land. Arriving to the edge of the promised land and the children of Israel going in, sending the spies and coming back and saying, oh, it's everything. It's everything that God said it was, except it's everything and more. There's giants. This was God's plan. There weren't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us here, not only to kill us, but to kill our little ones. And we can go through life, the valley of the shadow of death. How many times have you felt like, have we felt like we're following the Lord, doing our best to follow Him, everything we know to obey and follow where He's leading, and we come to a place and think, wow, He's got me so strategically placed in this job, I'm going to be there forever. And then we get a note that the boss wants to see us. Or we get these hopes and dreams and plans and think, this is how life is going to unfold. And this is where we're going, and it's going to be so great. And just walking in the blessing and in the favor of the Lord. And then we get the phone call that the doctor wants to see us. And our world has changed with one phone call and one meeting. And I've heard so many people say, and I've said, I never planned it. It wasn't supposed to be this way. It's the valley of the shadow of death. But it's in this place. It's this place that we can find ourselves in. And it's this place that David was in, where the psalm changes. And he no longer talks about God. He no longer talks about the Lord. Instead, he talks to Him. It's the valley of the shadow of death, where there's an intimacy that appears. Instead of a declaration, the Lord is my shepherd, this is what He does, this is what He does. It's in this moment, in the valley of the shadow of death, that He's leading us. It says, I will fear no evil. He doesn't say, for He is with me. He changes His vocabulary and says, for You are with me. And there's an intimacy and a closeness that David declares. It's an awareness that the shepherd hasn't left when things got tough. Instead, when things get tough, it seems like He draws ever closer, a very present help in time of trouble. We're not alone even when we're surrounded by death. We don't have to fear because the shepherd is with us. Fear no evil because of His presence. Evil can be all around, but we can live in the midst of it without fear because we live in an awareness of His presence. Got some friends who are going on holidays in a couple weeks. They're actually going to Vegas, and a number of people have said to them, aren't you afraid because of the terrorist, because of all that took place, the shooting this past week in Las Vegas? And I thought, and their reply was, they're not afraid. But where do you go? Do you go to Paris? Do you go to London? For Pete's sake, do you go to Edmonton? Right? Where do you go? You live in the presence of God, in an awareness of the presence of God, that He watches over us and He keeps us and He protects us. And if our life were to be ended by a gunshot or by a runaway vehicle or whatever, we win. Right? This is not the end. And so we walk in love and we walk in grace. We walk in care, and we do our best to reach the whole world with the whole gospel. Do we stop going to the mission field because it's dangerous? Our nephew and niece and their three little children responded to the call to be with Mission Aviation Fellowship, and they're in the Congo. And they are in a rough place, and everybody who goes and visits them from Mission Aviation Fellowship, different workers and such, they go and they say, wow, this is a rough place. And they took their three little kids there, and they're raising them there. But they're on the mission field trying to do some goods. He's a pilot, she's a nurse, and they're bringing the message of the love of Christ in very practical and tangible ways to people that would never hear the gospel without them. May we continue to go, and we don't fear when the enemy is all around, when there's reasons we would say to fear. We fear no evil because He's with us. Because David said, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod would be a weapon that he could throw and fire, that in fact, sometimes even a revolver has been referred to as a rod. That your rod was not only for defending against the enemy, it was also for putting against the side of the sheep's neck and giving it a nudge, bringing some correction and some direction that the sheep would need to go. I wonder if we would have a weapon against the enemy that we could pull out and use, and we could also have that would nudge us in the right direction, that would bring correction into our lives when we're going off of the path of righteousness. His rod and his staff, the shepherd's staff. A couple things with the shepherd's staff. One, when a little ewe was born and was distant from its mom, the shepherd would take that staff and gently pick up that ewe, so to not get its, you know, the human fragrance on it, and draw it closer to the mom. The shepherd would also use that staff if there was a lamb that was wandering away, and would use it to bring it close to the shepherds. I love that picture of the staff about intimacy and closeness and being drawn closer. And I think about the rod and the staff. I think about his word and his spirit. His spirit that draws us always closer to his presence. And there's great comfort by his word and by his spirit. And one of the last things, we're almost done. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that. Circumstance hasn't changed. The valley of the shadow of death is still around. Enemies are around, but there's provision. We sang about it this morning. Carolyn led us, and you prepare a table before the presence of the enemies. Number one, I think it's twofold. Number one, I think it's a provision for the sheep. Nothing can stop the provision of the Lord. Look to your provider. Nothing can stop his provision. We look to him who provides for us. But secondly, I love it, it's in the sight of the enemy. Yeah, that the Lord's providing for us. The enemy's around, and all he can do is look and watch that the shepherd is providing for us in the presence of our enemies. And I feel like in moments like that where you think there's no way for God's provision, and God's provision shows up, I feel like just looking at the enemy and saying, are you not entertained? Just this, come on, this is what God does. He provides in the midst of all you're trying to do. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. It's in this place where there's an anointing. And there's a grace and there's blessing. See, we started in green pastures, but we ended up through the valley of the shadow of death in the presence of enemies. But we're still being refreshed and blessed. Isn't that amazing that no matter what we go through, the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. So whether it's these moments of green pastures and lying down by still waters and our soul being restored, or it's going through it, the shadow of death and enemies all around, there is still a blessing and anointing that we can walk in because of his presence. His presence. And in all of this, we acknowledge that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell. We're not just going to visit in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not temporary. Wherever we go, I love that mercy and goodness are following us. Wherever we go, we will leave a legacy of the goodness of God. Wherever we go, we will leave a legacy and a testimony of God's mercy on our lives. Let me close with this. King David wrote this psalm, Psalm 23. And it's words that he wrote. And even as we began our talk by me talking about greeting cards that you receive, and it just says it just right. You know, I appreciate the things that are said in the cards, but you know what I'm looking for? Not just the money. No. I'm looking for what they wrote. What did someone write? Even though these words, they were penned by someone else, they reflect what they're trying to communicate, that's marvelous. But I'm looking I'm not looking for penmanship. I'm not looking for neatness. I'm looking for something personal that that fills in. It's their touch. I don't need a touch from Hallmark. That's nice, but it's the words from the person that make the difference. And so as we look at Psalm 23, can I invite you to take that and perhaps pray that this day, but not just as a recitation like a poem, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," but to add your words to it, to add your word. That's where the meaningfulness will come in your thankfulness today, to say things like, "Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd." And then add to that, "I thank you that you're my shepherd." And whatever that means to you, when you picture God being your shepherd, I shall not want. "Lord, I thank you that I don't have to look anywhere else. Lord, I thank you that you are enough. Lord, I thank you." And go through the psalm. "I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your protection. And most of all, God, I thank you for your presence." I'd invite you to take Psalm 23 this Thanksgiving Sunday and read through and pray through and put your words to David's and thank the Lord this day. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you for your life and your love. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. That we don't have to look anywhere else. And so we're just so grateful that you are our shepherd today. Thank you that you watch over us, that you protect us. Thank you for your provision. But God, most of all, we just simply say thank you for your presence. That your presence that leads us to still waters and quiet moments, your presence that leads us in the right path, your presence that leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stop there. Death has no sting, has no grip on us. That you lead us through that. That in a world that so wants to press us into its mold, thank you that we don't have to fear any evil because you're with us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you that goodness and mercy follow us and we dwell with you forever. God, thank you most of all for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.